Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Tuesday, September 22nd, and it's not just any Tuesday, because it's a Tony Tuesday! And that's right, Tony Cirino is back on the show. It's been a couple weeks since we've had him on, so we're going to get to recap a little bit in the first segment, just about what the Steelers have been going through, the fact that they're 2-0, and how our feelings are through the first two games. Then in the first segment, we'll address the offense and what's going on with Randy Feuchner a little bit more, get his insights on it, and ask why so many screen passes. All that in the second segment. And then in the third segment, we'll address the defense, and I'll ask a big question. Tony, why do you hate Keith Butler so much? All that and more in today's show. Don't forget you can subscribe to the Locked On Steelers podcast by going to anywhere where podcasts are hosted, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere podcasts are hosted. Today's show is brought to you by Visa. Help support your local businesses. Whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops, local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So, let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, an official partner of the NFL. Let's get into it. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. It's the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, and it's Tuesday, but it's not just any Tuesday. It's time for a Tony Tuesday, because Tony Cirino is back on the show, and I am so hyped. We didn't get to have him last week. Tony, you're back. Thanks for coming back on the show, man. How you been, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing great. The Steelers are 2-0, so I'm feeling, you know, remember this time last year, the Steelers were an 0-2 football team, and you know, there was no fun to be had. This year, it's 2-0, and sure, this wasn't maybe the best Steeler performance we've seen of all time, but happy to finally be cheering for a team that's 2-0.
I mean, think about that. Think about that, fans. Last year, around this time, the Steelers were 0-2. Ben Roethlisberger was done. Everyone was wondering, is Minkah Fitzpatrick even good? Like, did we just trade away the first-round draft pick for nothing? And all hope was lost. Everyone thought it was definitely going to be a losing season. And not just a losing season, but that they would have just given up a top 10 overall pick. And that didn't happen. And now we're here, and they're 2-0, and people are actually complaining about being 2-0.
And if you think about it, 2 years ago, we go back 2 years ago, right? Because even 2 years ago, they start the year with a tie against the Browns, and then they got clobbered by the Chiefs in week two. So, it is funny to wake up to a 2-0 Steeler team, and every article I read is about, I'm reading Caboli and Bouchette who are saying, the Steelers' defense doesn't have its killer instinct yet, and, that Ben looks sloppy. I mean, look, granted, I will say, this was not the Steelers' best performance. And if the playoffs started tomorrow – okay, they're not going to win the Super Bowl, guarantee you that. But the nice thing is, we got 15 more weeks of this. So let's everybody calm down and enjoy the fact that the Steelers are 2-0.
I mean, here's another thing for people to remind. Teams get better as seasons go along. When was the last time that you saw a team be great from week one to week 17? And then be great and then be unstoppable in the playoffs. Even the 2008 Steelers team, in week two, they barely beat the Cleveland Browns 10-6. In week three, they lost to the Eagles in Philadelphia 6-15.
And that was a trash game, by the way. You go back and watch that one. I mean, they looked pathetic in that game. You would have never thought that team was going to win the Super Bowl that year.
Right. I remember it's my sophomore year in college, an Eagles fan is telling me that, you guys are never winning the Super Bowl. Not like that. Yeah. And I was just like, dude, it's week three. Like, this is why you're an Eagles fan. you think things are determined in week three. It's just not.
Right.
And then even week five, ironically, by the same score they just beat the Giants, they beat the Jaguars 26-21. and or not the Giants, they just beat the Broncos 26-21. But they beat the Jaguars by that number. And it's like, it's still one of those questionable things where you're just like, well, wait a minute. How good is this team? It doesn't matter how good you are in the early weeks if you're getting your wins.
Yeah, accumulate wins. Yep.
You get the wins that you need to get early on, and then if you get to the end of the season and you have double-digit wins and you're in the playoffs, who cares how you got there? It just matters how you play in the playoffs.
Right. And the games like we saw on Sunday, the kind of sloppy performances that where boys, you know, there was every chance for them to lose that game. Those are the kind of games. You go back 2 years ago. This is a team in 2018 that was 9-6-1. And how many sloppy games did they have where they did lose? You talk about Oakland. You talk about Denver, right? You talk about the Chargers game. I mean, you know, these are games where if the Steelers had those games back, even the end of that Saints game, and the Steelers had a chance to win, Juju fumbles at the end, they could have any of those games in the win column, they make the playoffs that year. So I think we're going to look back at this game against the Broncos and not look back and go, oh, boy, that was the start of like when we knew this team wasn't good. No, that was a great win because it allowed this team to make the playoffs later in the year.
I agree. So when we look at that, I think people need to take a chill pill, back yourselves up, and realize that the Steelers right now, what determines how good they are is the fact that they're putting more W's in that win column. Now, all that being said, like, they got to turn it up. The Texans are coming to town. Deshaun Watson is a bad man. They're 0-2. They're probably feeling a little bit desperate. So they're probably on the sense that, like, hey, we got to win now because you go 0-3, that's like territory of you might not make the playoffs, even in a sad division like the AFC South. So, you know, they're not – but here's the other thing. I don't think that the Steelers feel comfortable about who they are right now. Like, Ben Roethlisberger knows what he's not doing right. The offense knows what they're not doing right. The offensive line is, you know, is figuring things out. They know what's going on there. They're trying to get better. They're trying to be ready, and they're trying to be the best team in the NFL. I mean, this team, if nothing else, this team is built with veterans that know what it's like to win, know what it's like to lose, and know what roads they can't go down because that'll lead them down the wrong path.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many parts of this team where, look, if you want to criticize parts of this team, you absolutely can. You want to criticize Ben, there's plenty, you know, that interception on Sunday, that was vintage dumb Ben interception. Yep. He had all day to throw. He's no one open. Just throw it away, Ben. Nope, not going to throw it away. I'm going to force it into coverage. Great job. You want to criticize the defense. There are things to criticize about the defense as well. But, you know, the thing the thing about this football team right now is, they're accumulating wins. And they understand, like, with Ben Roethlisberger coming out after the game and saying, like, this is a bad performance. Defense, you know, the defense won me this game. Like, they understand right now that they're not playing their best football. You've got young guys like Deontay Johnson who's getting worked into the offense, and I like that Ben is getting him the football or trying to get him the football as much as they are because, boy, Deontay Johnson is a roller coaster right now. You never know what you're going to get from him from play to play. Some plays, it's spectacular. The punt return he had, unbelievable. Actually, the free kick return that he had was maybe his most impressive return.
I mean, he made
of the day. That was, I mean, it's just incredible play. And then he had the bad drop. He had the fumble early. But these guys, if you start to get this going throughout the year, if those guys start to come together, this team's going to be just fine. And the things we knew were going to be good about this team, the defense. Okay, I said during the offseason, look, you know, you look at teams that have 38 turnovers. Just mathematically speaking, that's gonna regress down, right? They're gonna be in the 20s this year. Well, they're on pace for 32. So there's been no sign of regression just yet. So the sack number. I mean, the Steelers are gonna lead the league in sacks again. I think we can all say that after 2 weeks, they're very likely to lead the league in sacks again. And then the fourth quarter defense, where this team was able to get a big stop late. These are things that you can count on to win football games. If this team can continue to turn the ball over, if they can continue to get sacks, and if they can get big fourth quarter stops, and Ben Roethlisberger keeps doing the things he's doing out there, even though he's not playing at a high level, his elbow still looks fine, this team's going to be just fine when we get into November and December.
I agree. I think it's just people are anxious to see the Steelers be dominant because they remember the glory days of when the Steelers could just beat up on people with whoever they had. But the thing is that you have that romanticism because one of those glory days was 2008. And again, in 2008, 10-6 to the Browns, lose 6-15 to the Eagles, barely beat the Jaguars 26-21, lose to the Giants at home 14-21, lose to the Colts at home 20-24, barely beat the Chargers 11-10. I remember that game so fondly because I remember seeing the win and thinking, like, man, that was a good defensive win. And people were like, I remember like Eagles fans being like, 11-10. You'd never catch the Eagles winning 11-10. And then the Eagles got destroyed and left for dead by Larry Fitzgerald in the playoffs.
See, the thing that makes me mad about that game is they stole that touchdown from Troy at the end, didn't they? Troy, I believe, had a touchdown at the end of that game, and they stole it from him.
I still think that there was some bookie stuff going on with that one, man. Well, like the over was – because someone did say, like, the over for that game or the whatever the gambling odds would have been messed up by Polamalu scoring at the end. So I still think there was something there.
Oh,
but,
I like that.
I'm not tinfoil ton.
No. We're doing a little tinfoil hat right there, and listen, I'm in. You know me.
stop it. We're not going that far. So bottom line with that, I think the Steelers are doing just fine. Yes, they have a lot to work on, but it's week two. They didn't even have a preseason. Y'all, chill. Pump your brakes. And I think some of the best ways to chill, Tony, is when you're sitting back and you're able to say, hey, you know what? Let me watch an old game. And when you watch an old game, you're like, okay, you know what? Like you can go back as far as 2009 on Game Pass. And when you go back and look at some of the games that you fought, like, man, like that was a great game. And you remember how stressed you were. I think that should remind people, like, hey, they may have been great, but they still had their flaws. And before we go to our next break, let's talk about our great sponsor, rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is the place that you know that you can go to get the hard-to-find car parts or the easy-to-find car parts and get them delivered right to your doorstep. Rockauto.com has all the amazing car parts that you're going to need to get your car back on the road, and they have them at reliably low prices. Instead of going to the dealership or going to three different stores and finding to see if they have the car parts you need and then haggling with the shop to see, hey, well, you know what, can you cut me a deal? Go to rockauto.com. They'll have the car part that you need. You find it, you get a great low price on it, they deliver it right to your door, and you do it all from the comfort of your own home. You get to do that, save yourself time, save yourself money, get the car parts you need, and get your car back out on the street. RockAuto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com today and tell them that Locked On sent you. We'll be back right after this. We're back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with my friend, Tony Serino. He's back on the show for a Tony Tuesday. Now, Tony, let's get to talk about this offense, man. I talked a little bit about Fichtner before, but you brought up a good observation when we were talking about all the screen passes the Steelers were throwing, and not just screens to the running back, but screens to the wide receiver, and how it just, at some point, it just becomes too much.
Well, they're just not a good screen pass team right now. I mean, I haven't charted it all, but it wouldn't be pretty if you went and charted like all their screen passes this year. Even screen passes to the running back, it just wouldn't be a pretty sight. It just feels like Fichtner right now with this offense. And I know there's a lot of frustration with Fichtner right now. There was a lot of frustration with Fichtner last year from the fan base. So they're just building on that. But like we were talking about in the last segment, you know, fans want to see Ben go out there and just sling it, right? They imagine old Ben that was going and throwing 5,000 yards 2 years ago. It is the frustration I have with the offense right now is it feels like everything is catch and run. And I know they had a ton of success doing that against the Giants. I mean, the in-breaking routes that they had, the nice James Washington touchdown, even Juju's touchdown, over the middle or across the middle, I should say. But, when we get to, like, you know, you had that Juju, I think it was a 3rd and 9 where they hit him on a little, like a 3-yard route and he had to do the rest. There was the 3rd and 2 to the side where Juju got caught behind the line. That was a little catch and run. They did the flip. They always do the flip play. They always have to do the flip play to Juju over the middle. But it feels like there's too much of that in the offense right now, Chris. It just feels like – and look, maybe this is Fichtner wanting to work Ben Roethlisberger back in, right, work in that chemistry because clearly, you know, he does not have a ton of chemistry with guys like Ebron, who he missed in this game. You know, Deontay, it's up and down with him. So it does feel like, you know, Ben's still trying to figure it out with these guys, and maybe that's why Fichtner's going with that. But, boy, the best success the Steelers had in this game was when they went downfield. I mean, they had the Claypool 84-yarder, Deontay's touchdown – down the field. I feel like, you know, I don't want to use the let Ben cook thing, but I'm a little bit let Ben cook right now.
No, I think you're right. I mean, I was saying during the game on Twitter, I was just like, whenever they test this Broncos secondary in their secondary, they're cooked. Like, they couldn't run with these guys. Like,
yeah.
I mean, the one pass downfield that was bad was the interception that Ben should have never thrown.
He shouldn't have thrown,
Just like, and I can't wait till the all 22 gets released. Please, NFL, please release all 22 on time this week.
It'll be Saturday at noon, I must say.
I mean, like, and man, it wasn't even on all the time. Like, that was a mess. But, like, I still, like, I'm looking at this game and I'm thinking, you know, like, if they just tested these receivers down the field and just gave them some more chances to make big plays, like, when they went to Juju, I mean, you looked at the game. At one point, I was pretty sure that he had more catches than targets because he was catching passes intended for Benny Snell. Why go away from what's doing you well? Like, just, yeah. It didn't make sense. But at the same time, you know, I talked to Dale Lawley about it, and, you know, he brought up a good point. He's like, Chris, is probably because they're trying to protect Ben Roethlisberger, and half their offensive line is gone right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a good point. And they also might be trying to protect his arm. We had Dr. Karina Maharaja on this very show not too long ago, two Fridays ago, in fact. And she mentioned how, like, you know, a lot of this year is just going to depend on how his arm is feeling. And they're probably trying to do everything they can not to overwork it now so that they can have him not just this season, but next season and maybe even beyond that. Mm-hmm. So delicate stuff there. I get it. I felt Steelers fans' frustrations with why not just run up the score so you don't have to worry about this game.
Right. I have a question for you about the running back position as well. Feels to me, and this is only a 2-game sample size, and I don't like to be 2-game sample size guy, but here I am. James Conner, did he not have the burst? Did he lose the burst? I feel like James Conner, when he gets the ball, there's just not that burst that we used to see from him. He's, you know, he's, the runs, you know, the 60 yarders that he had was obviously terrific, but those are few and far between for him this year. And the majority of runs are just him running into the line it's 1 or 2 yard gains, if that. And Benny Snell, I know, did great against the Giants a week ago and did show that kind of burst. That wasn't there against Denver. What's going on with the Steelers running back situation right now?
I think part of it is that the Steelers haven't found their balance yet. Like, they're trying to run the ball. And to be honest, you know, you do have to look at the fact that they've had 200-yard rushers in back-to-back weeks, and they're different people. And granted, Connor was only a 100-yard rusher because he ran for 60 yards at the end of the game. But no one said that when Leonard Fournette ran for a 99-yard touchdown, and that's what built up his yards against the Steelers 3 years ago.
Ace on AFC Northstock would very much disagree with you, but we have a running thing about Leonard Fournette on that show.
It's hilarious. Tony, at some point, like, you need to, like, create some John Cena music for me and, like, just have me pop on the show and just let me decimate those fools, because I watch that show and I'm just like, how does Tony keep his head sometimes? Because it's just too much. But anyways, point being, I look at James Conner and he you know, and Benny Snell, the running game, the reason it's not popping all throughout the game is because teams still don't respect the Steelers passing game, because it's not consistent enough. It hasn't shredded a whole lot of people. And I think to the NFL, Juju Smith-Schuster is not a number one receiver. Deontay Johnson is not a developed receiver. James Washington is not a developed receiver. Chase Claypool's a rookie. He had one big play. Woohoo, we don't care. I think nobody respects them, and that's why you see teams playing the run so much. And, you know, and the times that the Steelers have caught people, either, you know, not playing the run or just made a good play. I mean, the runs are there when they make them work. Like, you know, like, there was a 12-yard run early in the game where Connors bursted through. Dotson put on some work and knocked over Jarrell Casey, who's a 5-time Pro Bowler. And Dotson's a rookie. Like, they said that he had, 42 pass snaps and didn't give up a single pressure, and that's never happened for a rookie in the history of Pro Football Focus.
So, like, he was good, man. Yeah.
He was on fire, like, I think that this there's a lot of good things going for the offense. They gotta trust themselves and let it fly a little bit, and you'll get that going. Because honestly, it was three drives in the middle of the game, Joe Hayden interception at the 11-yard line, 3 points, and then they had two other drives that started like right around midfield. They punched two of those in for touchdowns. This game ain't stressing late in the fourth quarter.
Right.
And you might even be able to pull Ben with how bad it might have gone. Because then also, Jeff Driscoll's going to feel more impatient and start to say, hey, I got to get this ball down the field. We just got to start moving it. And then Ben's can pin its ears back and say, all right, you're not throwing short anymore. You're going to try and make a big play. We're going to sit on that and get a turnover. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like the problem for me with the offense is that they're still figuring out who they are and what Ben's arm is mm-hmm. and how they can mm-hmm. move forward without sacrificing his future.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, they, you know, obviously they have to be more efficient. I mean, they were what, 2 of 12 on third down the other day. And like you said, you know, you bring up that, you bring up a good point about that goal line stand. I mean, they just weren't good in this game in those kind of third and short situations. I mean, they had the goal line situation. I think they had third and one at the Denver 2, and they don't convert there. They went Connor up the middle. It's actually funny because the play calling in this game got of course everyone attacks Fichtner for it, but you know, he early in the game, it's, you have that goal line stand. It's they're on the 5 yard line. They go run there. Okay, they don't get it. So then later in the game, he's got third and two. He goes pass, and then they go for it on fourth down. They pass again. That's the one, the Ebron that he missed, right? And he's get killed on both ends, which is, hey, why'd you run it twice? Why didn't you let Ben throw there on the goal line? And then why didn't you run it on third and two, just line up in the I formation and try to get the yard? Well, they did run it on third and one earlier in the game. They didn't get it. And they threw later. They still didn't get it. And this offense just has efficiency problems right now, like you said. Like they got to figure themselves out. And then you compound that. I mean, the problem for this game, Chris, like, you compound all the problems they already have, which is, you know, who are they using at running back and what is their identity and all of that. And then you had so many drops in this game and the stupid Ben interception and the Snell fumble after the safety. It just compounds on to itself. This, to me, like, offensively, I didn't think this game was night and day from what we saw from this offense a week ago where people were like, hey, Ben's back. We, you know, 3 touchdowns. This is good. I didn't think this was too much different from the performance we saw a week ago, just a little sloppier.
No, I agree with that sentiment. I mean, it definitely was sloppy. And I think there were several points where they could have put this game away that, you know, would have made it a little different. I mean, heck, if James Conner finishes that run, I think that they're in a good position. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think people look at this game a little bit different, you know, because he finishes that run, it's what, 33-16?
Yeah, 33-21, yeah.
Or 21. Yeah, it was 21. Sorry. I'm mixing up my pit scores. But you're looking at that game and you're just like this, if they had just done one or two more things right, this is a whole different ball game. Mm-hmm. So yeah, offensively I think they do need to get more aggressive, especially vertically.
Yeah.
And then when you stretch them vertically, more will open up horizontally. But until you stretch them vertically, they're not going to believe that you can. Or at least cans consistently. So
I'd also like to see them run more play action, but they refuse. I mean, I think it's 12% of snaps this year is play action, and it's a Ben Roethlisberger thing. He won't do it. He refuses.
Yeah, whatever it is about him, he doesn't want to do it. You know, maybe during the middle of the game, he's losing energy and he just wants to stick to it. But you know, maybe if Ben's losing energy, he should use our great sponsor, Built Bar, because Built Bar is the protein bar that gets you your energy in the middle of the day. Tony likes how I work this in. But Built Bar is the great protein bar that you can eat during the middle of the different day and the end of the day. And they have 18 different flavors, 6 new, including caramel brownie, which is amazing, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake. I repeat, lemon almond cheesecake is a protein bar. That's ridiculous. Carrot cake and apple almond crisp. There's so many good flavors with Built Bar, and you get to try them out yourself if you go to BuiltBar.com today. Go to BuiltBar.com, and then you can order all the different flavors that you want delivered right to your door. But don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. BuiltBar.com. It's not just a protein bar. It's a great-tasting candy bar that's only 110 to 130 calories. We'll be right back after this. All right, we're back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, joined by my friend and former co-host, Tony Serino, on a Tony Tuesday. Now, Tony, we talked about the offense. Let's talk about the defense. But I got to ask you, my man, we used to talk all the time. We've been talking for 2 seasons now because first I was a guest on your show, then I was a co-host of the show. Now I'm the host, and you're the guest. And like, we've gone through all the different seasons and the shades, our relationship on air.
Yeah.
Do you still have problems or hate Keith Butler?
Hate's a strong word. You know, me and Keith, you know what I mean? Like, we we see each other and we're, it's cordial right now, I think is what I'd say. It's cordial.
You see Keith Butler.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know what I mean? Like if he's in the room and like we're in a group talking, like, you know what I mean? I will engage in conversation, but otherwise, like, you know what I mean? It's just awkward. I think obviously with Keith Butler, look, you can't deny what this defense was a year ago, obviously, right? I mean, you know, what they did those last 14 games of the year was terrific. And I think what they're doing this year, I think what's so impressive to me is that they're continuing that what they did last year as far as when we talk about the turnovers and the sacks, right? I mean, this guy, I don't know if you saw it, Chris, Next Gen Stats put up a thing today where the highest pressure rates and the highest blitz rates in kind of an XY coordinates thing, the Steelers were on the top right. I mean, they're blitzing more than anybody and they're getting more pressure than anybody. I mean, Keith Butler has brought the heat for the last couple weeks. I know he's getting criticism after this game. Obviously, Jeff Driskel comes into the game. Steeler fans feel like, all right, hey, we should be, this is it. Like, we got this great defense. Shut them down. They can't move the ball. And Driskel had some success. I do feel like, Chris, has he changed? I know the All-22 is not out, so this is a dumb time now. I should probably ask you this question on Thursday and not on Tuesday, but I'm going to ask it to you on a Tuesday. Does it feel like they're spot dropping a little bit more this year than they did last year? I felt like last year was more man concepts. And this year, they seem to be spot dropping a little more, and that's giving guys like Driskel, even, Daniel Jones against the Giants, people talk about that game, and look, it was a great game defensively. He did have an 18-play drive or 19-play drive in the middle of that game, and that's a game where they really couldn't move the football. So it does feel like maybe teams are finding a little bit more success at just moving the ball. Obviously, they're not scoring points. But I felt like maybe that's just because he's doing a little bit more spot dropping for whatever reason this year, and if they went back to more man concepts, they might have more success.
I mean, maybe. Because here's the other thing. Zone concepts usually work the best against younger quarterbacks.
Yeah.
People have a hard time seeing them. When you're man-to-man, that's more like street football. Like, okay, I know if my guy's faster than that guy, I could get the ball to him. Mm-hmm. But I also don't think they did a horrible job with Driskel for most of the game. I mean, okay, after he came in, his first drive, punt. Second drive, field goal because they got great field position, which they actually lost 5 yards on.
Oh yeah, we didn't talk about the punter. We probably should talk about. I loved his body language. Just he was pissed off right after the ball left his as soon as the ball left his foot. Cole Quinn's like, I suck. Get me off.
I don't even deserve to be here.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give all my game check money to Chris Carter.
I loved. Oh, and then there was a part in the game where Vance McDonald. I guess he thought the ball was going to Juju. He didn't even try for the ball. And he, like, pointed to Juju. Oh, sorry, I thought he was going to Juju. And then he kind of just pointed to the sideline, and I said, oh, he's probably going to go sit next to Colquitt now. Like, there's a part of the bench for him and Colquitt have to sit next to each other. You two, get it together. Anyway, sorry, I cut you off.
No, you're fine. But my point is that their first drives against Jeff Driskel were a forced punt on 5 plays, a field goal after they pushed them back 5 yards, a forced punt in 6 plays, a missed field goal after 5 plays, an interception – and then another punt, and then in the third quarter they got a field goal after going 27 yards because of after the interception that Ben threw, and then they finally scored a touchdown, and then they forced a 3-and-out that led to a safety, and then they gave up another touchdown. Yep. I mean, come on, like that's still a very good game. And then they got a turnover on downs at the end of the game to win it.
It wasn't so much a bad game defense. I know people are saying people are writing some really dumb stuff about this defense right now. Because look, maybe there is like a slight regression from where this defense was last year about how dominant this defense was a year ago, right? You go back to like the games against the Rams stuff. I mean, they were just unbelievably dominant, 3-and-out after 3-and-out after 3-and-out that they were forcing. Okay, so maybe teams are gonna have a little bit more success moving the football, but that is not gonna matter one bit if this defense continues to get the big plays at big moments, and that's what they continue to do. We talked about that 19-play drive a week ago. No one's going to remember that 19-play drive as a Giants fan because it ended in a turnover, okay? The Broncos could have been throwing into the end zone at the end of this game. They had the ball at the 15-yard line. It ended in a sack, okay, a fourth-down sack by Terrell Edmonds. That's the stuff that you remember. I mean, and I know we're being a little results-oriented here when we talk about it this way, but you're not because we got 14 games of history that we're talking about where every game – I had a tweet today. The last 7 times – the Steelers have had 1-score lead. Their defense has had to defend in the fourth quarter. Those are all wins. And it's usually ending in some kind of turnover. In this game, it was a turnover on downs after a sack. So there's some things to be critical about. I mean, I think, Driskel had some success moving the ball. It wasn't, obviously, with a backup quarterback, fans just expect this guy shouldn't be able to move the football. He found a little bit of success, but I don't think it's certainly not as drastic as people are making it out to be. I think this defense is going to end up being just fine.
No, I agree. I think this defense is on pace. You know, TJ Watt got 2.5 sacks after getting none in the first week. You know, Bud Dupree got his sack and forced fumble. Mike Hilton has 2 sacks, which is crazy. You know, Joe Hayden got an interception.
He was like, I would give Mike Hilton MVP of this game, defensive MVP of this game.
Oh, absolutely. I gave him my game ball on the DK Steelers podcast that we do.
Yeah.
You know, I look at all the things that he was able to do and fly around the field. I mean, it shows why they've been continuing to sign him as a restricted free agent, because they know how good he can be. Mm-hmm. I think that Hilton absolutely acquitted himself very well and continues to show why he's a vital part of the defense, even though he's more of a role player as a slot guy. But again, the Steelers also took advantage of the opportunities in front of them. Hilton also scooped the fumble when Dupree forced it out of his hands. And how many times 2 years ago were we saying, oh, they just can't recover a fumble? When the ball bounced off of Cortland Sutton's hands over the middle, Joe Hayden caught it, which is something that used to never happen for the Steelers. Even if it was thrown right to them, they would drop those interceptions. They're taking advantage of mistakes. That's what great defenses do.
I'll tell you this, Chris. If the Steelers get 30-plus turnovers this year, again, back-to-back years, which I don't think this has been done. You'd have to go back like 10-plus years to find a team that had 30 turnovers 2 years in a row. I will get a Steelers jersey, a custom Steelers jersey, with the number of turnovers they get this year and Keith Butler's name on the back. I promise you this.
You heard it here first. Tony Cirino has agreed that if the Steelers get 30 or more turnovers, which they are on pace for 32 right now,
mm-hmm.
then he will get a Keith Butler jersey.
Yes.
With the number of turnovers that they got in the season.
Yes, absolutely. Now, you know, the NFL has certain stupid restrictions, but I don't think Butler will be one of them. So hopefully I'll be able to do it. But, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, this is crazy. I mean, like, they just shouldn't be able to do this. I mean, you should not be able to get this many turnovers. But they are, man, and they are on pace right now. And you look at, you know, I know this was Jeff Driskel, but Drew Locke was a guy coming into this game that didn't turn the ball over very much, and he was actually pretty good about avoiding sacks. You know, he comes out of this game because of a sack fumble, okay? I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about this defense. And I know it's a small sample size for Drew Locke. It was only, I think, 6 starts that he had coming into this game. But he had proven to be a guy. I think he only gotten sacked, 5 times in the 6 games that he played, only turned the ball over, 2 or 3 times. Coming in.
And in week 1 against a Titans defense that's known for being stout, they didn't give a single sack to them.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think this defense is going to prove, you know, this defense is going to prove a lot of the analytics or the statisticians wrong when it comes to natural defensive regression that happens year over year. So far, it looks like this defense is going to set some records when it comes to back-to-back defensive performances. And by the way, we're talking about analytics and stuff. You know, I talk about hey, this defense might be seeing a little bit of regression just as far as yards. You wouldn't know that from looking at any of the advanced analytics. DVOA, the Steelers right now are the number 2 defense in the NFL behind only Baltimore, who's, you know, they're just on another level right now. Yeah. And by EPA, the Steelers, I believe, are the number 3 defense behind only, I think it's Baltimore and Tampa. So, you wouldn't even know it from looking at the analytics. Like, this defense is playing well.
The defense is playing great. I just want to know, man, what did Keith Butler do to you? Why do you hate him so much?
It's a long story. When did he come in? When was his first year?
2016.
2016. So 2016 to 2018. That period right there. It hurt my heart. It hurt my heart. And I haven't gotten over it yet. We'll see. Well, maybe 2020 is the year, Chris. I'm telling you, I'm a Keith Butler jersey. You know, it may be in the cards. January of 2021.
So I just want to get this straight.
Mm-hmm.
He has been the defensive coordinator for 4 years.
Yes. This is year 6, I think.
This is year 6. Oh, so wait. So it wasn't 2016 when he started. Then he started, 2014?
Because it's 2015. I think it's 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2018. Okay, yeah, and so then this is year 6.
His first year was the 2015.
The home opener. Yeah, or the opener against the Patriots.
Is that 2015?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, 2015. Yeah, that's the 2021 game.
That's interesting. Okay, so 2015. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So 2015, 2016, and 2017. The defense kind of, muddles around. They had Ryan Shazier. They were on their way to being a top 10 defense.
They were.
Ryan Shazier got hurt.
Yep.
But since then, in 2017, 18, and 19,
mm-hmm.
they have been the NFL's leading sack-creating team.
Yeah.
And right now, they're on pace to make that 4 years in a row.
They are. They are. It's incredible. And it's an incredible run.
It's an incredible – it's a historic run. No team had done it 3 times in a row, and they might make it so it's 4 times in a row, and yet you still have a problem with Keith Butler. I just don't get it.
Yeah. Always. I think it's going to be forever. We just have a natural hatred for one another at this point. You know what I mean? You know how you hate someone
for one another? You actually forget the reason why. Where did this Keith Butler hates you come in? He doesn't hate you.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
You know what? If I get on a Zoom availability this year, mm-hmm.
and
Butler's on, I will ask him, Keith, why is it that you hate Tony Serino? And if he doesn't respond with, who's Tony Serino? And he gives me a – if he says, I don't hate Tony Serino, mm-hmm. then I will be like, oh, there's something really going on here.
That's,
oh,
yeah, exactly.
Like, he was ready for my question.
No, listen, his defense is about to set, like I said, his defense is about to set records. So he's, you know, he's got a lot less to worry about than me. For, you know what I mean?
Well, Tony, always great, man. Thanks for coming on the show. As always, please let people know where they can follow you and find more of your work.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find me on YouTube. It's a roundtable show called AFC North Talk every Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday is going to be our review show. For the week, and then Thursday, a short preview episode for the upcoming Sunday slate of games. Steelers right now sit tied atop the AFC North with the Baltimore Ravens. So check that out. AFC North Talk on YouTube, Steeler Country on Twitter.
Very dope. You guys know you can follow me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I will follow you back. Thanks to all those who support the show. Subscribe to us on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. If you want to support the show, please leave us a 5-star review and a positive comment on Apple Podcasts. It really helps out us in the rankings. And if you do so, if you go with a 5-star review and leave a positive comment, you will get a shout out at the end of the show, like we do with our friend here, Jesus Gonzalez, who says, Steeler Nation, listening to this, to the Locked On Steelers podcast with Chris, is the rise of the daily grind, keeps everything fun and interesting. Great information on all things. Keep Steelers. Keep it up, Chris. Jesus, I salute you. Thank you very much. I appreciate the review. Please leave your 5-star review with a positive comment to get your shout out at the end of the show. This has been a fun Tony Tuesday here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about Mike Tomlin's Tuesday press conference, which will be later today. Check that out, and I'll be talking about it tomorrow on the Wednesday version of the Locked On Steelers podcast.